This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Spreading so much cheer. I should be playing in the winter snow, but I'ma be under the mistletoe. I don't wanna miss out on the holiday, but I can't stop staring at your face. I should be playing in the winter snow, but I'ma be under the mistletoe.
Will you, shawty, will you?
Will you,
shawty, will you?
Gathering around the fire, chestnuts roasting like a hot July. I should be chilling with my folks, I know, but I'ma be under the mistletoe. Word on the streets that it's coming in.
Hey, I don't know about mistletoe this holiday season. There might not be a big demand for it unless you do some of that virtual mistletoe kissing, I suppose. You're in your own household, of course, with your significant other, but it just made me laugh thinking of the whole mistletoe thing and what would be missing this holiday season, because Christmas tree shopping is crazy. I did a little Christmas tree shopping, and I thought I would talk about it at the top of this, and then we get into mudslides, mud slinging. California is shut down where everyone will be home for Christmas. And, oh, yeah, Rudy Giuliani in the hospital for COVID. He tested positive. Just another day in the divided states of America. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. So let's talk about the Christmas tree thing real quickly. It was great. You know, you want to feel good, go Christmas tree shopping, even if you get a little tiny tree, medium tree, bigger tree, you know, whatever. I was surprised. It's more than, you know, it's a little less than 3 weeks out from Christmas, and pretty picked over. You know, a lot of times traditionally people waited 2 weeks before or so, but I think we all need some cheer. And if Christmas tree, the real thing, is your thing, I think a lot of people jammed out early to jump on trees and to get what they, whatever they could at some of these various tree farms or other places that sold them, other lots where they could get them, which usually is the case. And then have it up for a little bit longer. I noticed lights. That was one of the things that happened during the pandemic. There was a push to put up Christmas lights to spread cheer because of how people felt. And I think that we all have sort of a COVID PTSD. And coming out of this, I think people are going to have the same thing. I think I've mentioned this on the show before. My great-grandmother died during the last pandemic, and nobody ever talked about her. I've had to trace and try to find out what I could about her, because my great-grandfather had a seven-month-old daughter, my grandmother, and a seven-year-old daughter, my great-aunt. And this was in Philadelphia, where they were slammed with COVID because they had a parade. There was no social distancing, masking, the whole thing. And she was young, and she died from the Spanish flu epidemic that went through. So lo and behold, you know, there wasn't ever any conversation. I didn't even realize that until a couple years ago when somebody mentioned it to me. I had no idea that there was this part of my family. And one of the things I found out is, you know, it was the same thing about wearing masks and trying to stay apart. And there were people in the Midwest who did it really well, so some of those areas didn't get hit as hard. But I wondered, what was it like then? Imagine being locked down, we'll call it. I'm sure they used a different word. In whatever home you had back in 1918, what would that have been like? I think a lot different than what we're feeling today, no matter what nook, cranny, canyon, suburb rural area or city that you live in and you're listening to the show. And by the way, we welcome in the people because we've got a big audience listening to us in other parts of the world, in Australia and England and Wales and Scotland and so many other great places. And many of them have joined us during Author's Corner, and they've talked about COVID and what it's been like for them with shutdowns in New Zealand or reopenings and that kind of thing. And of course, Australia now doing it well. They're not having problems. They were having problems, and now they're back in a period of they're not having as many problems with COVID-19. And, of course, the conversation is about the vaccine, who's getting it, when is it going to happen, and when can we see things at least return a little bit back to what life was like. Well, life for Rudy Giuliani, who was skewered in a Saturday Night Live skit about pushing the voter fraud in Michigan, in a hearing in Michigan, that's what they were riffing on. He came down testing positive for COVID-19, the former mayor of New York City, and of course, President Donald Trump's personal attorney. Trump tweeted out, "Get better soon, Rudy. We will carry on." He was admitted to Georgetown University on Sunday. Two people were aware of the condition, I guess, when they found out, but they found out and then eventually it was announced, but his son tweeted out that his father was resting, getting good care, and feeling well. And then he tweeted out, "Thanks to all the followers for prayers and kind wishes and recovering quickly and keeping up with everything." So he's now the latest of the closest to the people in the White House, associates, I guess I'll say, who tested positive for the virus. How he got it, because remember, it's all about contact tracing. They don't know. He appeared on Fox News' Sunday morning feature show to call for the Georgia State Legislature to overturn the election results in Trump's favor an hour before his diagnosis was announced. I mentioned that he was at the Michigan State House panel and another Georgia State Senate hearing, and there was plenty of images of those where there were people pretty close to him who didn't have a mask. So they're now saying, out of an abundance of caution, we want anyone who came in close contact with Mayor Giuliani to take every precaution, follow all the guidelines to ensure their health and safety, because they're wondering, there's so many people in his orbit that you could clearly see in some of this video who perhaps could have had COVID, who knows, transferred it to him or, you know, whatever. But again, he's in the hospital. He certainly has had health scares in the past. In 2000, I remember this one, he was running for Senate in New York versus the then First Lady Hillary Clinton. He was diagnosed with prostate cancer. He dropped out of the race after that happened because a lot of people thought that was going to be a really, really close race. All right, I also mentioned that we have mudslides and some other things that we're going to contend with, that you're contending with across the United States. Mother Nature just does not give us a break. Where are the mudslides? You might be surprised. We're going to talk about that next here on the show.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wrap should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Attention business owners, body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
This is sponsored by Amazon. This holiday season, Amazon is delivering smiles to charities across the country with the help of celebrity partners Gabrielle Union and Ali Raisman. And it's easy for customers to join them in giving back. Kate Scarpa, Amazon spokesperson.
We're proud to support charities that have been impacted by the challenges of this year. And customers can also join us in giving back by shopping through Amazon Smile. By starting at smile.amazon.com, customers can find incredible holiday deals, low prices, and convenient shopping, with the added bonus that Amazon will donate a portion of their purchase price directly to the charity of their choice at no cost to them.
Customers can also donate items to charities directly at smile.amazon.com/charity lists, where nonprofits create wish lists of the items needed most. Additionally, shoppers can donate to Toys for Tots by saying, "Alexa, donate to Toys for Tots," or make a monetary donation to a charity of their choice by saying, "Alexa, I want to make a donation." Learn more and give back this season at smile.amazon.com.
American message. And while this reply stated that it seemed useless to continue the existing diplomatic negotiations, it contained no threat or hint of war or of armed attack. It will be recorded that the distance of Hawaii from Japan makes it obvious that the attack was deliberately planned many days or even weeks ago. During the intervening time, the Japanese government has deliberately sought to deceive the United States by false statements and expressions of hope for continued peace. The attack yesterday on the Hawaiian Islands has caused severe damage to American naval and military forces. I regret to tell you that very many American lives have been lost. In addition, American ships have been reported torpedoed on the high seas between San Francisco and Honolulu. Yesterday, the Japanese government also launched an attack against Malaya. Last night, Japanese forces attacked Hong Kong. Last night, Japanese forces attacked Guam. Last night, Japanese forces attacked the Philippine Islands. Last night, the Japanese attacked Wake Island. And this morning, the Japanese attacked Midway Island. Japan has therefore undertaken a surprise offensive extending throughout the Pacific area. The facts of yesterday and today speak for themselves. The people of the United States have already formed their opinions and well understand the implications to the very life and safety of our nation. As Commander-in-Chief of the Army and Navy, I have directed that all measures be taken for our defense. But always will our whole nation remember the character of the onslaught against us.
All right, that was FDR, and of course, we're talking about the attack on Pearl Harbor, as you heard. It kind of gives you goosebumps, doesn't it, to hear that old recording where I think he eloquently laid it out and was shocked about the attack on Pearl Harbor. It was a surprise military strike, we know that, and as we remember that, on December 7th, coming up 1941, think about Hawaii. I've spent so much time there and in Oahu, where it's just beautiful, and it was just a sleepy time where you know, there's a let your guard down kind of feeling, and it's this Lagoon Harbor. If you go there, you see it, where of course, you know, the naval fleet of the United States was parking, was there, was, you know, had all those sitting ducks, unfortunately, that could be deep sixed, and it was the headquarters of the United States Pacific Fleet. So the U.S. government first obtained exclusive use of it and the right to maintain a repair and coaling station for the ships there in 1887. When I was doing some research on that, I couldn't remember what year it was. And, of course, the 1941 attack, which then led to the U.S. declaring the war on the Empire of Japan, making the attack on Pearl Harbor the cause of the entry of the United States into World War II, where Winston Churchill was really, really pressing FDR, pressing for the United States to get involved, and this was the way the United States got involved. So a reminder as to what that stands for, and boy, the Arizona, that memorial is just something to see when you go to Hawaii and you think about those lives that were lost, and again, the surprise, letting the guard down. All right, coming up on the show, a little this or that round the bend, and then a conversation, speaking of war, with somebody whose mother went through a hellacious war situation, came out on the other side, raised a family, and has led just an amazing, amazing life. But I talked about the mudslides, and you would be surprised where the mudslides were. This is Alaska. So they've had lots and lots of rain. And there's this city in Alaska where, I mean, just record-setting rainstorm. And of course, you have that much rain, at least all those other things. And it's an area called Haines. And this, they were just kind of reeling from the rainstorm, and it just triggered these unexpected mudslides. I mean, again, you know this can happen. You're not expecting it's going to happen. And then they got 8 inches of snow over the weekend to add on top of that. So it's so crazy. They had all this water, then they had the snow, and then they have, in between all that, the mudslides. That is a triple threat. That is awful. So search and rescue was searching for two people who went missing in that large mudslide. And, of course, the conditions made it that much harder to be able to do that. And they just kept warning people about potential evacuations with more snow and rain in the forecast this week. And it's this really cool area. If you look it up in Alaska, it's beautiful. And it's got about, it's a small, small town. It's kind of like that old show, Northern Exposure. There's 2,000 people in this northern part of the Alaska panhandle. And it was one of the most devastated cities in southwest Alaska during that rain last week. Four homes just boom, wiped out, hundreds damaged. 50 households had to just completely evacuate. And now, like I mentioned, they're expecting more precipitation, so you can imagine. And the sun has set, so they call it polar night. It brings 66 days of near darkness. So imagine, you have the rain, you have the snow, you have the mudslides, you have the damage to all those homes, and you have 66 days of near darkness. And it is dark. I mean, it's significant. And the freezing rain on top of that, yikes. I can only imagine what it would be like to try to dig out of some of what those people are having to dig out of. And they're setting records all over the place, you know, 7-8 inches of rain. And a single day rainfall record fell from 1946. That's how bad it is. So the Alaska State Troopers were initially, a couple of them were initially reported missing in the mudslides because they were looking for people. And there's, you know, not a lot of light. So that's mixed in between all of that. Wow. Crazy. All right, a little of this or that coming up next here on the show.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often, the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki. the coronavirus vaccine manufactured by Pfizer is expected to receive an emergency use authorization this week from the Food and Drug Administration, with rollout expected as quickly as 24 hours later. The head of Operation Warp Speed believes that we could begin to see the vaccine's effect on COVID deaths by January. Dr. Moncef Slaoui tells CNN that all healthcare workers and those living in long-term care facilities should be able to be vaccinated by January, with the entire high-risk population in the U.S. immunized by March.
There are, of course, many other people, unfortunately, that have comorbidities that live outside of care facilities, that it will take more time to immunize them. By the middle of the month of March, we should have really covered most of the highly susceptible population, about 100 million people.
President Trump's personal lawyer has tested positive for the virus, the president tweeting the announcement that Rudy Giuliani had tested positive. This is USA Radio News. If a deal for a new coronavirus stimulus package is reached, it won't include another $1,200 check for most Americans. Senator Joe Manchin says they knew that Americans still needed help in recovering from the pandemic. The West Virginia Democrat told CNN that in crafting their proposal, they focused on keeping a number of programs started in the first relief bill going.
Whether it would be shelter, whether it be health care, whether the necessities that people have, child care that's needed to try to get our lives back, all the things were going to be eliminated, Chuck. And we said that can't be done.
The man best known for his role as Swiggy on Laverne and Shirley has died. Lance Pry has more from the USA Radio News West Coast Bureau.
Marry a man with a square head, no neck, and hair on his thumbs. You know what your kids will turn out to look like? Hello.
Actor David Lander, best known as Squiggy on the Laverne and Shirley TV show, has died after a decades-long battle with multiple sclerosis. Confirmed by his wife, Lander died Friday in Los Angeles, California. From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
This is USA Radio News.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Little boy standing on a corner, somebody please in a helping hand.
Joins us, the technical maestro for this show. Eric, how are you?
I'm good, Kate. How are you?
I heard you've been working a lot of overtime, so you're a little tired.
Yep, I'm barely making it through.
Well, that inspires confidence for everybody listening. You're barely making it through. You're gonna be able to hold up though, right, if you get some chips in our next segment and maybe a soda.
Yeah, I'll be good.
Speaking of chips and a soda, do you like, if you have the choice between this or that, you know, they have the honor system boxes now in a lot of workplaces because some people are still working, or when we go back to the real world of working, or they have vending machines. Which do you prefer? Like the wide open, here's all the food, we trust you're going to pay for it, it's the honor system, or the vending machine?
I like the honor system. That sounds more appealing because not only do you practice, you know, your honesty and honor, but it's just a lot easier, and you don't have to, like, fight with the vending machine like I was earlier today.
Well, that's what I think. I think the problem is I don't know what it is about vending machines. I'm sure there's somebody listening out there that works with vending machines. And the vending machine guys are always really cool when they come to your building and they deliver the stuff. And it just seems pretty easy. They have the, you know, the coil and it's supposed to drop down. But they always get stuck somehow. I don't know how you escape that at least a couple of times a week something doesn't get stuck in the machine.
Yep, there was a bag of chips stuck that I got unstuck, but someone else lost a bag of chips. And I didn't mean to steal those Almond Joys. They just fell out when I was getting the chips unstuck.
Yeah, so see, if there was the honor system, you would have paid for all that. But with the vending machine, you can't do that.
Exactly.
Well, it was kind of your game that time around. I can't tell you, especially for people listening in the various, I mean, I've worked all over the country in television and radio, and all of the broadcast facilities had vending machines, except for there were places where I started work in California where they had the honor system. I worked at a place called K-Bear. It was a rock radio station, and it was cool. And the station had the honor system, and it worked for a while until I think people got so tired and they didn't have their wallet with them or whatever. And like after 6 months, they had to do away with it. But I thought it was so much easier.
So yeah, I've never experienced this. So yeah,
it's
you already know.
Better. Yeah, better. So I'm all about the honor system. All right, so you know we're kind of on this food thing here for a second. When we go back to the real world, it inevitably, wherever you go, it doesn't matter where you live, it can be a small place, a big place, a giant mall, like you're in Minnesota with the biggest mall of the world or whatever they call it. And there's always places where they have chocolate chips or macadamia cookies. And I always wonder, why do they have macadamia cookies? I like the nuts, but I have to think that more people would choose the chocolate chips. Would you choose this or that? Would you choose the chocolate chips almost every time?
I would go with the macadamia first.
Oh.
And then just out of curiosity, and then I would go with the chocolate chip.
All right, so you would go for the Mac Attack first.
Yep.
Just like one of the guys that emails us calls himself Mac Attack. Maybe it's for macadamia. I thought it was because of something else, but okay. Santa versus the Tooth Fairy, this or that, which did you know was not real first?
I believe I realized the Tooth Fairy was not real first.
When you didn't get anything underneath your pillow?
No, I found Santa Claus more believable, and I just didn't believe in like a flying fairy, you know,
leaving money for your teeth.
But I did believe a big fat guy going down our chimney, so I don't know what was going on with me.
Yeah, because that's the most believable story of all. So, Santa, do you remember how old you were when the Santa, you know, fictitious Santa thing was crushed for you?
No, I was under the age of 10 for sure. So I was probably around like 7.
7. Yeah, I think I was around. I think I was under the age of 10 too, and I think I was. I think my cousins were teasing me, and that's how I found out. I was probably about 7 or I was probably about 7 or 8. I guess that's around the age when you find out that's not true. It's kind of crushing when you really think that you do. It's weird. You really buy into that this guy, because you're a kid. They're flying reindeers. You put out your cookies and your milk, not the macadamia nuts, of course, the chocolate chips. And Santa comes down your chimney or walks in your door or whatever he does and leaves the presents.
Yeah, I found out the same way, too, as being teased. I feel like almost everyone finds out that way.
Yeah, somehow. Somehow people are teasing you. I have a good Santa story. You want to hear it?
Sure.
Okay, so I grew up partially in New York when I was little. So we lived in Queens. And you lived in these houses. They were cool where you had these houses and then little backyards, and then there was a giant park outside of behind that. So of course, we believed in Santa. My brother is 3 years younger than me. And the, you know, we were told, oh, you have to go to bed, leave the milk out, that whole thing. We did. And my parents went next door to visit the neighbors because it was so close, you know, like you were just, you just walk right over to the neighbors. So they walked over to the neighbors. And when they were gone, I woke my brother up. We went downstairs and I convinced him we needed to open the presents. And so we opened all the presents.
Wow, Kate.
I know, that's so bad for me to say that on the air. What does that say? But I did. I don't know what I wanted to see them, I guess. I wanted to see if you would do. I don't even know what I was thinking. But they came in, and my mother was so upset. She said that Santa was going to take all the presents away. And so, oh, my brother just howled. He just cried and cried and cried. And we had to go to bed and all that stuff. And when we came downstairs the next day, the presents were rewrapped. She said that Santa had changed his mind, and the elves rewrapped the presents for us. Isn't that terrible?
That's, I don't know, that's awesome, actually. You're
that's awesome.
You'd be like the leader, like, you know, leading your army into battle or something. I don't know.
Yeah, we don't like surprises around here. And that's kind of held true in my life. I'm not a I like to surprise other people, but I'm not a surprise person. You know, I mean, it's fine if somebody surprises me, but I don't have to be surprised. I don't know why that is. And so I don't know if it has any correlation to that whatsoever, but what a crazy thing.
Oh, you're ambitious. Like, you wanted to find the, you know,
now.
Find out. Yeah.
Did I get what I wanted? I need to know, because those presents are there. And you left us alone, and Santa came and took the milk and cookies and gave us the presents, so why not?
And you took advantage of the opportunity. That's admirable.
That's why I like you, Sir Eric. All right, so speaking of taking advantage of the opportunity, of course, you know, we're less than 3 weeks out of Christmas, and Amazon is everywhere. We know Jeff Bezos is really Santa, who's making money off of all of us. But tech things are what's really selling always. iPad or laptop, if, you know, it's, money's no object, and you could get the top of the line with either one of these, which would you get? Would you ask for this or that? Would you ask for an iPad or a laptop?
Definitely a laptop.
Okay, so why the laptop? Because you want to be able to do more with it?
Yeah, I want to be able to actually do really want a laptop so that I could work on music and just stuff like that, you know, mobily, so, you know, just so I could take my music anywhere I want, anywhere I go, you know?
Oh, yeah, so if you have the laptop, it's for your music, it's better.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, even though you can do the iPad thing, and iPads are versatile for that, it's still not as good as a laptop. There would be, you couldn't convince me of that. I've seen so many things happen where people tell me, oh, yeah, the laptop, you can do this and this, and I mean, the iPad, you can do this and this, and then it all blows up.
Yep, yeah, you can do a lot more with the laptops, especially yeah. with, like, recording and stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay, that, you convinced me. That makes sense. And then finally, you know, it's always a big deal about stockings, and then you have to get stocking stuffers. And it used to, I think it was easier to get stocking stuffers, or if you didn't have a lot, stockings were appealing because of what you could put in them. And it is a tradition, but sometimes people kind of veer from that tradition. So this or that, would you go with the stockings, or could you easily dump them? No stockings, go without.
It would be hard for me to dump the stockings because they're, I feel like they're a necessary part of Christmas.
Do you get good things in your stocking?
I don't know. I don't really care. It's more of like just the idea, you know, and because we grew up with stockings, so.
So you like it?
And they were fun. They're a lot more fun for kids, I guess.
Yeah, I think they're more fun for kids, but my mom was good with stockings. We had fun when we opened our stockings. I agree. It's a tradition. I wouldn't get rid of it because it just reminds me of childhood, because like you, that was a big thing to open the stockings. So we agree on that one, absolutely. All right, go have yourself a chocolate chip cookie and use the honor system. Tell them I told you to at the network. Thanks, Eric.
Thanks, Kate.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
It's not over. Sadly, our nation is going through tough times again, with no end in sight, and nobody knows what might happen next year. That's why it's a good idea to plan ahead, so you aren't caught off guard. Nothing's more important than having enough food to eat, and we're here to help. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leading emergency preparedness company. We provide long-term emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage. When grocery stores run empty or disasters strike, our foods will be there when you need it most. Act now and secure at least a 4-week emergency food kit full of tasty meals that provide 2,000 calories a day. We have dozens of emergency food storage kits to choose from. When the government tells you not to go out, you can have the peace of mind that comes from being prepared. When you order from MyPatriotSupply.com, your food will arrive discreetly at your doorstep in no time. Prepare today. Time is short. MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
We forget about the hitman.
Well, exciting this time around in Author's Corner to go to the other side of the world for some of us, because I know many people are listening to us in Australia. But I'm so pleased to welcome Kalichi Asunwa to the show. And his mother, Veronica, wrote an inspiring book, From Disappointment to Blessing. I mean, just even think of that phrase. So we are, again, excited to talk to him about his mom's book. So, Kalichi, thanks so much for joining us. And tell us about your mom.
Kate, first and foremost, thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure to be able to speak to you as well, especially with your listenership and the history that you've got. Mum obviously sends her deepest condolences. She's picked up the flu just at the wrong time in terms of being able to do this. And where do you start? Where does the sun start when it comes down to talking about their mother? But I'll try to keep it as brief as possible. She is an endearing woman, a very loving woman. A woman of faith, a strong and resilient woman, but also a kind-hearted woman. And I think the stories that she kind of puts into the book is her magnus opus in terms of someone who's achieved a lot when people have told her not to. And I think that people would really enjoy reading the book from just hearing about the story of this woman who survives the Biafran War, gets told that she can't have children, and then ends up having three boys. That's right, one, two, three boys. who then moves across from, you know, Nigeria and her safe village to be the wife of a missionary who lives in the Muslim north and is trying their best to install Christianity there, to then move into the other side of the world again, to New Zealand, and starting life there and having a bunch of challenges and overcoming them. So yeah, I don't know where to start with my mom, but I think I'd do her a disservice no matter what I'd say.
Yeah, from disappointment. So that's what she had to deal with, a war, first of all, and growing up in very humble beginnings. And what did she say about that?
It's really interesting hearing about it. So our family background, we are Nigerian Igbos, and in the late 60s there was a kind of war of independence that was happening, and my mom's family was doing quite well. They were a really well off family, and again, not even just comparatively from in a Nigerian perspective, but just in general, and the war decimated the family. A lot of people lost lives, businesses were ruined, and my mom's family were essentially given $20 and told to start afresh. And so to go from that and the life that she lived there to then go and, again, as I said, start anew, that's the first thing that happens. And it happens to her, I think, as an 8-year-old. Just that kind of mentality and spirit. And I remember there's a story, and this will tell you all you need to know about my mom, that when the health agencies had come through, because there was a lot of hunger that was happening and starvation was happening, and there was malaria that was happening, and mum was trusted by the family to run to the paramedics and get the supplies. But as you can imagine, there would have been hundreds of thousands of people fighting for these supplies. And as the legend goes, mum was the first person there, and she held on to the medic's hand and did not let go until she had some of the medics and food for her little brother. And her little brother is my uncle and is around today. So that tells you all you need to know about this 8-year-old who refused to let go.
And then she goes on, as you mentioned, told she can't have children, has 3 boys, gets an MBA. And what was it like for you growing up with her as your mother?
It's pretty inspiring. And again, you have the typical cliche of a woman who's supposed to just stay at home and raise the kids. And, you know, there's an unfortunate element of that in terms of the culture that we had grown up with at the time, where it's, you know, you've got these boys, look after them, and the men will go and do the work, so to speak. But at the time, she was still working as a nurse and trying to go through nursing school. So growing up with her, you could just feel this desire to want more. And that's something that's absolutely stuck with me, this person who's been absolutely perseverant, resilient, and really not taking no for an answer. She really is a groundbreaker. And I remember after I finished doing my university studies, and to find out that my mum was doing an MBA after having 3 kids and after having them all leave the house, she didn't just take the emptiness and just say, you know what, I can, you know, do whatever I want, but she legitimately said, I'm still going to go out and get this MBA regardless of what anybody says. So it's been pretty inspiring, and in a really funny way, my partner is also very much like that. So you can tell that I picked up some really good assets from mum.
Good for you. And again, the book is called From Disappointment to Blessing. And you mentioned that there's other stories in this book, some of them religious, some of them about people like Oprah. I mean, the world is filled with these stories, and she pulled them together. Was it fun to see her go through this process and write this book?
It was terrific, and it was also terrific to be a part of it. And like you say, she doesn't just stick to the story of Job, for example, in the Bible. She will mention the story of Oprah. She will mention the fact that Isaac Newton tried over 1,000 times to get it right. And she'll mention some parts from her life as well. So the allegories are there, and I think it becomes a very universal appeal where, as individuals, you won't just, you know, look at your own personal story, but you'll see the fact that she ties it all together and does such a good job of it. So it was really fun being a part of it, and actually, funnily enough, the foreword was written by yours truly as well, so I can't recommend it enough.
I love that. And we're speaking to Kalichi Asunwa, and we're talking about his mom, Veronica, and the book From Disappointment to Blessing. What do you hope people take away, and ultimately, I know you've talked to her about this, take away from reading the book?
We want to take away a whole lot. The first thing that we want readers to see from it is that disappointments don't don't stop there, that there is a future after the disappointment, that there are dreams and ambitions that happen after that. There's a story in the book about passengers who were really upset about not catching a plane flight, and it was one of the plane flights that went towards the Twin Towers, the September 11th. Mm. So you can imagine that hour and a half of just frustration and anguish, and then you realize, oh my goodness, this is really impacted and saved my life. And those people can end up with, you know, survivor's guilt. But you can also have stories where, for example, the story of Job, and, you know, this individual who had everything in the world and it all turned sideways, and having to kind of rebuild again. So in terms of what we want people to get from the book is we want you to again, see different stories and perspectives. We want to develop and grow people in terms of making sure people are resilient. People look at disappointments and take a step further and allow me to indulge in one quick story.
Sure.
In my career, I coach children. I coach them in soccer or football, as we call it here. And the amount of times where the children that I come across will miss a goal and will just give up. The amount of times where that happens and the ball will come back and ricochet and they could have had another chance to score and it doesn't happen simply because they didn't go right the first time, or they absolutely decide not to even participate or be involved because, you know, it's a bit challenging. And the idea is that we want to challenge people. We want to say, look, it's not supposed to be easy, because if it was, everybody would do it. But next time you see disappointment, next time you see something that you perceive as failure, you've got no idea that success is right around the corner. And I think that's the key message we want to send in this book.
Yeah. The book, too, has what I would say is the element of fun. I mean, her life had joy in it, has joy in it, don't you think?
Oh, 100%. And I think that's the other thing that comes out of it is throughout all of this disappointment that the joy has never gotten away. And I'm sure right now for a lot of people it's not the best of times. It's pretty tough. Economically, a lot of people's health is not in the best way. And we still want to make sure that people have hope and through that hope find joy. And there's one of the things that we do as a family is every now and then after we have a conversation, we'll say, look, where's the joy? Where's the joy in your life? Because it's too easy to be bogged down and be in a negative place and a negative perspective without realizing that, you know what, there's some other things that are superb here. And I remember Mum when we were growing up, she'd say, look, even if all I have is my voice, I'll praise the Lord because I have my voice. And that's the kind of joy that she's had throughout the entire process as well.
Yeah, what a special lady, and we certainly wish her the best. And Koichi, where's the best place to get the book?
There's quite a few places that they can get the book. Firstly is through Mum's website. That's an easy place to get the book. All good other retailers have the book as well. Let me just pick up the best retailers there for you. I think Amazon.com has the book, and all your usual booksellers as well.
All right, and of course we all know Amazon. So from disappointment to blessing, Koichi, thank you so much. Again, it was wonderful talking to you and hearing about your mom's story. And we'll have her back on sometime down the road when she feels better.
100%. And Kate, look, thank you and your listeners so much. We wish you all the best, and hopefully you and yours are having a nice and safe Christmas as well.
Thank you, and the same to you. Appreciate it.
This is sponsored by Amazon. This holiday season, Amazon is delivering smiles to charities across the country with the help of celebrity partners Gabrielle Union and Ali Raisman. And it's easy for customers to join them in giving back. Kate Scarpa, Amazon spokesperson.
We're proud to support charities that have been impacted by the challenges of this year. And customers can also join us in giving back by shopping through Amazon Smile. By starting at smile.amazon.com, customers can find incredible holiday deals, low prices, and convenient shopping, with the added bonus that Amazon will donate a portion of their purchase price directly to the charity of their choice at no cost to them.
Customers can also donate items to charities directly at smile.amazon.com/charity lists, where nonprofits create wish lists of the items needed most. Additionally, shoppers can donate to Toys for Tots by saying, Alexa, donate to Toys for Tots, or make a monetary donation to a charity of their choice by saying, Alexa, I want to make a donation. Learn more and give back this season at smile.amazon.com.